Hallelujah. We want to take just a couple minutes and give you a little bit of update. Jay Eberly Ministries partner meeting is for purpose of updating on partnership and telling a little bit about what the ministry is doing. We plan to do a whole lot more traveling this year overseas, as you know, but the pandemic around the world pretty much shut overseas travel down. We kept the dates in Mexico, which was supposed to be a week ago. We kept the dates until we just realized they weren't opening up because we were going to be going to Mexico. And those pastors are just wanting to get the right timing, and then we'll go down there. They want us to come. So we're looking forward to that. And so we have the funds to do a whole lot of traveling, stacking up in the gym account. So praise God for that. And so then, but we'll be doing a lot more traveling, of course. And then as far as a couple other things I wanted to share with you, the staff told me last Tuesday, they told me that I think the number of people that have subscribed now to YouTube, has doubled in the last, month and a half? The last month. So now there's like 2,000, I believe. And so that's really expanding, seeing good results on many different fronts. We have, in fact, the screens are down. They're going to show you a couple of pictures. Before we put the pictures up there, hold on, don't. But I think most of you know J. Eberly Ministries bought into a share plan of a flying club to buy part owner. Well, I'll give you the I'll be more factual so I'm not misleading you, to buy a partial percentage of an airplane. And so we now, I say we had to do a little finagling on the deal because Justin is, where's Justin, on a camera somewhere? Where's, huh? He's controlling tonight? Huh? Yeah. So, but anyway, he's been taking flying lessons and the Spirit of God started prompting him. There he is. Spirit of God started, or is that Nathan? There's Justin. You both don't have hair. I couldn't see. Anyway, so when he started really getting interested in flying and becoming a pilot, he took the bull by the horns, and he was not going to stop. I could tell. And so I just kept checking my spirit. I kept sensing that he was the one to do the flying for us. And so we talked, and he has that in his heart. And so we said, all right, well, we'll start helping you with your flying lessons. So in order to do that more efficiently, how many of you believe in using wisdom and be efficient as possible and not just throw money away? We bought into this flying club. We had to actually give him the money, and then he paid for the flying club to be the member. And so that gave us, him, us. He's going to give the money back, us, for about 11% of a plane to do his flying. And so he's got his private pilot license, and he's now working on his instrument rating. I don't know if you know anything about flying, but he's instrument rating means you can fly without being, you know, you can't see because of the clouds. You know, you're flying by your instruments, and you can do a lot more flying in a lot more places, a lot less limited by being an instrument rated pilot. So what, mid-September or something like that? Somewhere on that schedule, end of September, something. Yeah, so he'll have his instrument flight rating. Amen. And so all the money's in the J. Eberly Ministries account for that. We've already got it. It's laying there waiting just for him to say, I need more. Amen. So that's what, $7,500 or something like that. Something like that. So, but I wanted to show you pictures of the plane, too. You want to see pictures of the plane? All right, if you can dim the lights, they can see better, maybe. There's the plane. I told them, first thing I said is, needs paint job. They said, all right, so we'll get a paint job. But this is a Piper Arrow. What's the number on the end? B? 200, yeah. And this is a little single engine. Can't quite see it there, but it's single engine, low wing. So you can turn to the next slide. Yeah, I know. That just kind of goes through me. We can be in Olathe. There's another better picture of the whole plane. We can be in Olathe in how long? About an hour and 45 minutes in that plane. So that's just a little single engine. So praise the Lord. I just wanted to give you an update on it. It sure is a pretty bird. It's an ugly pretty bird, but it's a pretty bird. When you know what it can do for you, it's just sure pretty. Sure pretty. Amen. So, but that's just really a little trainer. That's just for getting the license and so forth. I don't know what we'll do. Probably just sell out whenever we get the license and let them have it back. But anyway, we'll see. And the Lord's leading us. So I just wanted to give you a little report. How many of you like a little update? What's happening? And then the only thing after that, he's got, after he gets instrument rated, he'll have to get, what's it, multi-engine certification or however that's written.
The multi-engine will be in there, but then it's the commercial rating.
Okay, the multi is in this? Okay, it's separate. And then after that, the commercial rating, which is what he has to have to be paid to fly somebody else. I mean, he can fly where he wants to right now by himself. And he can take me, but he just can't be paid for it. But how many of you think he ought to get paid? If he's going to work, he ought to get paid. He does too. And Kim says she believes in that too. So, but we just wanted you to get an update and hear a little bit about what's going on. When the Lord said to me, because I was praying, you heard me say it, when we were praying, and I said, because the Lord was talking to me about phase three, I said, okay, Lord, and I'm really, sincerely, in all honesty, asking about the anointing and so forth, about what is in phase three. I said, Lord, what's in phase three? I sincerely was asking about the anointing. And he said, the aircraft is in phase three. I'm like, whoa. I was not expecting that. I mean, I was expecting an aircraft to come, but that wasn't the answer I was expecting, you know, on that question. So, but I just wanted you to know. So we acted like it's so. Just started taking steps. And it's amazing how the money's been there to buy into the share and you know, just wonderful. You know, I believe it's light and easy to fulfill the plan of God. Takes faith. You have to obey God. Takes faith to obey God. But actually, Justin was going to, he paid all his private pilot license. He bought that. He did all that himself. I just kept checking my spirit. Should we help him? And I sense just to wait a little bit. I want to see if he's for real. I'll stand over here and say that. I just wanted to see. Is he really going to go? I mean, is he going, or is he just excited and going to get distracted on something else that he gets interested in? And he proved it. He just kept on sticking with it. And then he said, well, I'm going to get my, I'm going to get my instrument rating. So I said, well, he's going for this. I got my man. I knew it in my spirit, but I mean, God will just see if you're for real or not. And so I said, well, listen, we'll pay for this part. So, amen. And so we'll always have what we need. Tell your neighbor, we'll always have what we need. Praise the Lord. So we're looking forward to what's ahead. Looking forward to what's ahead. Good things are ahead. Tell your neighbor, 421 cometh. Amen. And it's light and easy. Amen. So praise the Lord. Let's just let's get into some things in the Word tonight. What are Pastor Debbie and I all about? What are we assigned to? You know, this morning I was talking a little bit about the dream I had as a kid. Go tell my people I'm coming soon, and how the Lord said whenever we came here, what I told you before, I'm saying again. Go tell them I'm coming soon. That must mean He's coming soon.
That's right.
And then he said, tell them to get ready. And so what does get ready look like? What is that? What's get ready? So we were talking a little bit about that this morning. Kind of got into this morning what I sensed was for tonight. But we'll pick up and see where else the Lord wants to go with it. And so we read Matthew 24. You remember those scriptures. If you were here this morning, I think most of you were here this morning. If you weren't, if you're on live stream tonight, we've got partners. I remember seeing some, in fact, there's some folks I've been seeing from Manila that they keep posting and say, we're your partners in Manila. And I'm like, praise the Lord. Philippines. So we're so thankful for people watching tonight, watching this meeting all over, wherever they're from. And, you know, I call anybody who's hooked up and catches the vision of what we have, giving, praying, whatever, helps ministry, whatever they do, I count them as a partner. Yeah. Amen. Amen. So we thank God for everybody. So we appreciate all our friends and partners watching tonight. But Matthew 24, we looked at it this morning, and for those who maybe weren't with us, we'll just sort of recap here. Remember, we were looking at the end times, and we are living in the end times. Perilous times will come, 2 Timothy 3:1, you know. So we're in that time, and a lot of things are happening that were prophesied, and we see all these things in the Bible. We read verse number 6, wars and rumors of wars, nation rising against nation, kingdom against kingdom, famine and pestilence. Could you believe in the United States of America it was hard to get toilet paper? Who prophesied that? I sure didn't. And if you are going to prophesy, let me shut your mouth. I want. No, I'm just. Maybe we shouldn't make fun of those things. But so famine. I mean, give me toilet paper. Keep the food. You know, I want toilet paper. I'm kidding. Pestilences, earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginnings of sorrow. Then he mentions persecutions and people being offended, false prophets, iniquity abounding in verse number 12. Love of many will wax cold. And then he said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So we got to keep on our assignment. Can't you see that it's not just, you know, well, let's crawl in a hole because all this is happening. No, we've got to take this gospel to all nations. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. Say this gospel. Not some watered down gospel. This gospel. This gospel. The one that he preached. And within a few verses, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. These signs, Mark said, will follow them that believe. My name, they'll cast out devils. This gospel. Cast out devils kind of gospel. Run the aisles gospel. You know, get filled with the Holy Ghost. Speak with tongues kind of gospel. Heal the sick gospel. Got to go to all the world before the end comes. So we are doing our part in that. And but, you know, he said here, there's a lot coming in the world. A lot of things, trouble, and so forth and so on. And we saw from verse 32 this morning down through verse 51, many, many times over and over again, if you read Luke's account, it's even more, where he says, make sure this day that when I'm coming back, make sure it doesn't come upon you unawares. Make sure you're ready. And this is only one parable, by the way, of Jesus saying this. He said this in several parables, and he really emphasized it. Well, if Jesus was emphasizing it way back then, I mean, and we're right up here close against the edge of this, I think we probably ought to emphasize it a little bit more. And so, you know, he mentioned some things we went through this morning that we're not to do. Verse number six, we're not to be troubled in our heart. In verse number four was be not deceived. We're to guard. There's some warnings he gave us, be not deceived. Number two, warning is in verse number six, don't be troubled. And then you remember he said many will be offended. Verse 10, we should guard against offense. And you know, he mentioned there, the love of many shall wax cold. We should keep our love hot for God. Yes. And so to really make it in these last days, right, there's four things to focus in on. Well, when it comes to deception, I love 1 John 2:27. The anointing that you've received of him abides in you. You don't need any man to teach you. And the anointing teaches you and guides you into all truth. You don't, and he'll teach you. And the context of that is deception. If you read the verse right before that, anybody got their Bible open? Maybe you didn't turn to that because I went so quick to that. But right before that, it says, these things I say to you concerning them that seduce you. Amen. How many of you know you listen to your spirit because that's what we're taught. This gospel teaches us to follow the inner witness and that we're born again and that the Holy Spirit lives in us. Which verse is that, Teresa, where he says, no man seduce you? 26, the very first, the very verse before verse 27. He warns against no man seducing you, but then he said, but oh, you've got somebody in you that'll let you know when something ain't right. Years ago, some people back in the 80s got mad because they sent all this money to some ministers that were doing wrong things with it and all that. I said, get mad at them. What's wrong with you, man? You should have been listening to the Holy Ghost. I never was led to send them a bit of money. Get mad at yourself. Kick yourself. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm not led to send anybody any money. Well, you're probably out of fellowship with God then, probably. Because there are people doing some things for God. Doing right things for God. Anyway, I'm happy tonight. Tell your neighbor his wife's been real good to him, and he's real happy tonight. So, we are warned of some things, and he tells us, the thing I'm focusing in on is what the Lord said to me in that dream. Tell them to get ready. In other words, it's not automatic that everybody's ready. You know, the point is that we have to prepare for what God is doing or we'll miss it. He's talking about him returning. And that's only one area, though, of that we've got to prepare. When I was praying in the Holy Ghost last night, and I woke up, whatever, for an hour and praying in the Holy Ghost. Well, no, it wasn't even that long, actually. Earlier had been, but I woke up and maybe prayed for 15 minutes whenever I woke up in the middle of the night, and this started flooding in on me. I mean, it just started hitting me. All sorts of truths and things he said to me in the past just all kind of came together and made sense. He said, go tell my people I'm coming soon. Tell them to get ready. And it dawned on me, there's an assignment on end time ministers. I'm not the only one. You realize I'm only a part of a company of end time ministers. Or us. We're only a part of a company. That are really assigned in this end time to prepare people for the things of God. Prepare them, not just for the return of Jesus, but there's a lot of work to do before Jesus comes back. There's a harvest to reap. Have you read James 5? Go to you rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that'll come upon you. Your gold and silver is cankered and your moth eaten, and you know you're heaping up treasure for the last days. Remember that? And he goes on and talks about the last days and the hire that's held back from the laborers. Remember that? And he talks about be patient also for the coming of the Lord. Until he receives the early latter rain. He has long patience for the harvest of the souls of the earth. Until he receive the early and latter rain, be ye also patient, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. It's all about the end times, the coming of the Lord, and the money that's going to be transferred to finish this great harvest. That's what it's all about. And he's talking about persisting in faith for the rain and the harvest. We ain't seen nothing yet. They didn't build those football stadiums for football games. They built them for the end time harvest. That's what that means. That's what that means when it says your gold and silver is cankered and the hire. See, all that money that belonged in the church to really do what they were supposed to do with it, it's going to come to us by using all those facilities free of charge. Because we're going to need them. We haven't talked about this for a while, but the Bible talks about an end time harvest, a large end time harvest. As the waters cover the sea, the glory shall cover this earth. The water covers 2/3 of this earth. Praise the Lord. And we know from James, he mentions Job and how he lost it all, but then he got it all back and doubled what he got. And I believe that's a prophecy of double. Whatever Peter, Paul, James, and John had, double here in the end times. Yeah. Well, I don't see it, Pastor. Well, you sound a lot like the people that say, that mock Jesus coming again. Yeah. Scoffers in the last days. Yeah. Say, where is the sign of his coming? He ain't coming back. Oh, honey, you're going to be one of those that go, wait a minute, I ain't ready, I ain't ready. So we have prophecies of all these things. These things will all come to pass. I'm not going to hide under a rock and say, oh my goodness, there's pestilence. Oh my goodness, there's lack in nations. Oh my goodness, this is happening, riots and wars and stuff. I'm not hiding under a rock. I got a job to do. But and that is prepare people for the coming of the Lord. But that happens by being prepared in the Word, being prepared in faith. Because you're not going to fulfill your assignment, your part in the work of God, by being full of doubt and fear and bondage and tormented in your mind and be squirrely in your thinking. Can't even help yourself. How are you going to help somebody else? Amen. Amen. So, but when it comes to spiritual things, the things that God has planned for our future, how many of you believe He's got something better planned than what you're walking in now?
Yes.
Me too. That's not because you failed in any way. It's just that God's the God of progress. He'll take you from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. From one degree of faith, another degree of faith. One degree of strength, another degree of strength. From one degree of revelation to another degree of revelation. One degree in phase of ministry to another phase of ministry. I mean, one degree of faithfulness to another degree of faithfulness. Everything in the kingdom of God increases.
Yes.
Nothing stays stagnant.
Amen.
And anybody that's staying, keeping pace with God, they're increasing. Increasing in knowing Him. Increasing in revelation. Increasing in faith. They're growing and strong. They're stronger to resist temptation of the flesh. If you're walking with God, you're increasing. You're growing up spiritually.
Amen.
Your faith is developing. You exercise authority and things obey you. Amen. Hallelujah. Funds increase. That's just the way the kingdom is. I mean, something's wrong if we're not increasing regularly in all those areas. So, but our point is that what God's been dealing with me about concerning tonight is to prepare for spiritual things that are coming. You ever remember back in, I believe it's, I'd have to look up the reference, could be wrong about the reference, I think it's Exodus 19, but where God said to Moses, tell the people, in 3 days, I'm coming down on Mount Sinai in all my glory. You remember He did, and the whole mountain was on fire on the top. He said, tell them, get ready in 3 days. He said, tell them to wash their clothes, and He told them some things to do to get ready. Why? Because when God wants to do something, He has to have people ready. He has to have people ready.
Amen.
And that's you and I.
Amen.
We can't ride the coattail, Brother Hagin, anymore.
No.
You know, Oral Roberts anymore. I mean, it's on us. Does that ever hit you like it does me every now and then? I'm in the team. I'm in the game now. I'm up to bat now. I mean, oh, the ones in heaven that went before, they're looking.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Yes, right.
Are you going to do anything with what we taught you? Or are you going to? Come on. I mean, that's the way I think. I don't know how you think. I think according to the Bible.
Yeah.
Hebrews chapter number 12 says that. Seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses.
Yeah.
Let's get her done. That's the way I say it. Let's get her done.
Yeah.
Let's get this gospel out. Let's tell people about the authority of the believer. Let's lead out in the spirit of faith. And let's have people triumphant and victorious. And when their flesh doesn't want to do the will of God, they know how to consecrate and say, I'm going to obey God and do my part. Amen. When I go to heaven, I don't want to go say, well, I want to go, but and God say, well, welcome. But who's that ragtag team you got behind you down there? I mean, broke, busted, disgusted, defeated, tormented, squirrely in their mind. I want Him to say, woo, that bunch you raised up, man, oh man, they got her done. When I said witness to that person sitting in their chair getting their hair cut, they did her, man, they did her. They weren't afraid. You know, fear keeps a lot of people out of a lot of things. All right, so we got to get ready. Get ready. We get ready for anything God's doing. Spiritual things can be forfeited if we're not ready for what's coming. Jesus got to the brow of the hill over Jerusalem and said, you're just not ready. I had so many things I wanted to do, but you won't receive. And it's going to be difficult for you. Amen. Now, Hebrews 11:7, we looked at this morning. That's where it says, by faith Noah. By faith Noah did what? Prepared. That's a paraphrase. He's talking about getting ready for the flood. But let's just take the spiritual truth that applies to us. I don't know of any floods coming, but this is a spiritual truth. Yeah. By faith gets ready.
Yeah. Amen.
Faith gets ready.
Amen.
I'll never forget probably 2014. I believe it was April. I believe. March, April, somewhere in there. I was sleeping. I was sleeping good that night. And I mean in the room. I'm fast asleep. I don't know if it was audible. I guess my wife didn't hear it. It sounded audible to me. I'm fast asleep. And it sounded audible. The voice spoke. And spoke so loud and so strong, woke me up.
Come on.
And I'm looking like, who said that? I knew what was going on, but you know what I'm talking about. It was so real.
Yeah.
He said, show God you have faith.
Yeah.
It was strong.
Yeah.
It was corrective.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I could tell he wasn't happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, what did I do? I mean, I wasn't sure for a while that I didn't really know what he was talking about. And I woke up and I'm like, whew. I mean, it rattled me. I said, Lord, what is it? What is it? And my mind kicked in. Except down in my heart, what I was so aware of down in my heart when I woke up was how much time I had wasted the night before. Doing just, you know, little nothing. And, you know, not carnal. Not, I don't mean sin, but, you know, just wasting time. Wasting time. And I woke up so conscious of that. But my head kicked in. It's like, Lord, what? Because my head was thinking about faith for something in the natural or something. But I was praying. I said, Lord, what are you talking about? And he said, he reminded me of what I was conscious of when I woke up, all that time I had wasted. He said, he began to talk to me about faith gets ready for what I, he said, remember back a week ago, I spoke to you about some things. He said, I told you a week ago. That I think it was a week ago. He said, you begin to say, he had spoken to me in my prayer time. See, whenever you get a little further along, he speaks a little straighter to you. Because you know better. And he said, I told you to I don't have it written down in front of me. I don't know if I can quote it right away, but something to the effect. He said, I told you to begin to say, and to begin to act like you believe what you say. That right now, I'm being prepared for greater things in the ministry. He said, I said, you say that regularly. He said, this is what he said. I believe. You say, I believe, and therefore I act according to what I believe. That right now, I'm being prepared for better things. Now, I don't mean what we're in is not good, but he's always going, taking us from glory to glory. You too.
Yes, sir.
And I said, I must not have, I just didn't think much about saying that. I might have said a time or two. But then he woke me up with that audible voice. Show God you have faith. In other words, start, and then he started dealing with me. What I'm telling you is, start acting like you believe that better things are ahead and get ready for them.
Yes,
in other words, stop wasting so much time.
Come on.
That's what he was getting across to me.
Amen.
Woo!
Yes,
you know you're not going to live forever down here?
Yeah.
The day will come, it's like, okay, you're going to heaven.
Yeah.
Whether you got done or not.
Right.
You're going to have to give an account.
Yes,
So that was the biggest challenge about building our house. I said, Lord, I don't want to take all that time. That's just, but we had peace about that. Because I think he wants to use it in some ways. But I'll tell you, be honest with you, a lot of things we just don't have time for them anymore. You know, I'm on an assignment. Anybody else on an assignment? Well, I mean, it's a different mentality. Go to Luke chapter number 9. Let me show you something here. Jesus, he got to a place, I believe this is Luke. Let me make sure I'm looking at the right place. He got to a place where he was... I'll find the reference. I don't think that's right. He got to a place where he was getting close to going up to Jerusalem to be crucified. And the Bible says that, yeah, it's in Luke 9, verse number 51. Came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up. Everybody say, when the time was come. See, it was time for something. How many of you know what time we're living in? It's time for some things. It's time for Jesus to come. Yeah, but before that, it's time for the latter rain. And you know, that doesn't happen just... God needs laborers in the latter rain. It doesn't happen because we sit back on our couches, twiddling our thumbs and saying, it's time for the latter rain, it's time for the... No, he needs people to get out there and obey God in the anointing that's on their life and to function in the office they're called to and bring their supply so that he can bring that latter rain through people. He doesn't do it all on his own. He does it through people. That's us. Say that out loud. That's us. So Jesus, it was time for him. It was getting close to the time. It says the time when he should be received up. In other words, he'd go to the cross, be crucified, of course, then raised from the dead and received up. He said, so he got to that place. It came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up. He just stayed on the same pace he was and the same degree of focus he was. No, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. In other words, if you read the context here, he had to concentrate and focus his faith on getting this plan done. Can you see his demeanor change there? He steadfastly set his face. Listen, there comes times in life that you got to get through a door.
Yeah, that's right.
There's an open door, an opportunity, and God said, I want you to do this.
Yes, sir.
And it takes more focus of faith, and it might mean you cut some things out. It might mean you set some things aside that one time might have been important, but it's not as important as getting through this door.
Amen.
And obeying God.
Amen.
Am I preaching? Am I making any sense tonight?
Yes,
so we all come to those seasons in our life where we've got to set aside, lay aside every weight and the sin that's so. See, this is part of preparation.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
How do you get through doors? How do you get into the plan of God? The next phase, the next part of the plan of God. Well, it takes consecration. It takes laying aside sins and weights.
Amen.
See, this is the part people don't like. They like the strong anointing. They like, whenever they see the plan of God unfold. But they don't like all the consecration and time on your knees and separation. Listen, remember the Bible said in Acts chapter number 13, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I've called them. Say separate.
Separate.
Say this, part of preparation,
is separation.
Oh, there's a revelation. Separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I've called them. It requires more than just faith. Well, actually, there's more ways faith, let's put it this way, there's more ways faith is expressed than just confession. When God said to me, show God you have faith, he was saying, show it in the way you get ready for what's coming. If I said, tomorrow morning at 9:00, I'm going to meet you at Hills Bank, right over here, this one location right here. I'm going to have a bag of money. $1 million. I'm not telling you this, but I said if I'm telling you this. I'm going to have a bag of money. And I'm going to give it to you. You better be ready to get that in your account. And you don't. I get there at 9 and you don't show up. 9:15, 10 o'clock, I'm waiting. So I said, all right, well, I'll just leave. Guess what? You didn't believe it. Huh? You didn't act. You didn't. Amen. If you'd have believed it, you'd have been there at 8 o'clock with flags on your car waving, here I am. And you'd be wearing bright red and make sure I see you. You wouldn't care what people thought. You'd... Amen. It's all true. I'm preaching better than your amen, and that's for sure. So certain seasons require greater degrees of diligence and focus of our faith. Certain seasons where we got to get through some doors that God opens for that are strategic to the plan of God. Amen. We got to get through those doors. And that might mean we have to have a different demeanor. We might have to have a different gait. You know what I mean by gait? I mean, we might have to walk more purposefully. I'm thinking of the Old Testament when God's... whenever Elijah sent, I think it was Elisha sent the servant because the widow woman was coming, and Gehazi, who wanted the widow to know what the widow woman needed, found out it was because her son had died. And Elijah, I guess it was Elijah, sent his servant, said, "Go take my staff and lay it on the child," or however he said that. And he said, "If anybody tries to greet you on the way, you just say, I'm on an..." I don't remember the exact words, but you say, "I'm on an assignment. I don't have time to sit here and talk." Amen. That's the way we got to get in the last days. That's the demeanor we've got to take. Come on, tell me I'm preaching all right. This is part of preparation. You know the mindset of good athletes. The Bible uses these kind of illustrations. 1 Corinthians 9. Let's go over there. This is certainly coming out different than I planned tonight, but that's just cool. I don't have to have my plan. We'll talk about that too. 1 Corinthians 9. Look at verse 25. "Every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things." We'd say the gold medal. "Is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beats the air, but I keep under my body, bringing into subjection, lest by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway." Now, he's not talking about castaway from salvation, but he's talking about from getting this gold medal. You can see the context. So, what do we say in here? He's talking about athletics, and he said, any man, you know, let's take runners. Sports people of any kind, but let's say you're running a track race or some kind of relay or something. Runners don't just, you know, eat whatever they want and get fat and watch TV all day and then get up the next morning to run in a world competition. Run in the, you know, whatever, the Olympics or something. They're not going to win. They won't even qualify. Isn't that right? They got a different mindset. And so he's saying, he said, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, we an incorruptible crown. Isn't that right? And he said, they are temperate in all things. They're temperate in their diet. They're checking their amount of intake of protein versus carbs and fat versus sugar. But they're not just temperate in their physical, you know, what they're doing physically and their exercise and so forth. They are also temperate in their mindset. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. They get in a zone. Some of them get in a focus zone that can make them irritating to be around. But that's why they're good. I heard a famous quarterback's wife say that the day or so before the game, he gets in this zone. You might as well just leave him alone. I thought, yeah, that's why he's won the highest honors in that sports field. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. The Super Bowl. Yeah. Hallelujah.
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 Being friendly can work later. Spending time with everybody else can work later. Right now I'm in a zone. I am watching internal videos of how I've got to do this and where he's going to be and how this has got to happen. And I'm in a zone. That's what you and I've got to be to finish this race. Not meaning we can't have any fun. It's just that can't distract us from the race. Amen. But the principle of preparation is the same in the natural as it is in the spiritual. And so, the closer we get to the end, the more we have to be like this. Notice the closer Jesus got to the cross, the more he got like that. He said there right before he went to the cross in John 16, he said, I have many things to say. But he that's in me is true, and I'm only going to say what he says. He said, because the prince of this world comes and has nothing in me. Therefore, I'll not talk much with you hereafter. What's happening? He's getting in a zone. I've got to fulfill this. I'm not letting the devil, the flesh, because his flesh didn't want to do it. The devil was tempting him to not do it. I love that. What's that movie, the Passion of the Christ? Remember whenever Satan was tempting him in the garden in that scene, how he stomped on that snake? I love that because Jesus was focused. I am not falling for your temptations. Amen. Can you see what we're talking about? Hallelujah. So right before the race, good sports people, they get in a zone. They're getting ready for something. Amen. I'm getting ready for greater ministry. I'm getting ready for stronger anointings. I'm getting ready for more phases and more traveling and doing what we've got to do. I'm getting ready.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Preparation. Say preparation. And sometimes it means laying some things aside. I don't know who I'm talking to tonight. Somebody's got to hear this. Tell your neighbor, I'll take it. If you don't take it, I'll get yours. Praise the Lord. So, separate in Acts 13, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I've called them. So part of preparation is separation. Separation from what? Well, whatever would distract you from it. Remember Hebrews 12? Lay aside every weight and the sins. There's things, some things that aren't sins. They're just distracting you from getting this done. That's what the Lord was saying. Show God you have faith. To him, he saw it as unbelief. I thought I was just, checking up on the news all night. But he didn't see it that way. Show God you have faith.
Amen.
In other words, you didn't need to spend all that time doing that. You got some things to get ready for.
Amen.
I told you that, a while back, I said, you say, I believe and therefore I act according to what I believe. See, I'm saying one thing and acting a different way. I know this sounds tight, but listen. You've got world champions and you've got people you can't commit much to in the kingdom of God. I believe God wants us to prepare skilled laborers, end time laborers who know how to get it done, know how to hear what God's saying to their heart and know how to focus in on it and not let the devil pull them off of it for the world, for sin, for a little bit of fun, a little bit of recreation, a little bit of nothing. I'm not preaching against recreation. I'm preaching against getting distracted and letting it pull us off. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Tell me I'm preaching all right. Whatever will distract. How about the cares of life? There's a lot of spiritual things neglected because of the cares of life. A lot of spiritual things. I'll get to that. Well, see, that's not faith. Because it's not preparing for what's coming. I don't know if you can handle it all. Lust of the flesh. I was, the other day, I was looking through my Facebook feed. And I just said, I got too much on here. So much distraction. I don't have to know about that and this and the other. And so I started pushing, the page, pulling it up, pushing the like button again. It comes up unlike, and I said unlike, 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 unlike. You know what I'm talking about? I'm not prophesying. You're supposed to do that. I'm just saying I got to a place that's like, this is just too distraction. Too many distractions. I don't need to know about that farmer's market that's doing this and what kind of how they're doing the vegetables and how they're doing it organic and what kind of sprays they're using and all that. I know enough already. Forget it. Forget you. I'm just talking about myself. Well, praise the Lord. You want to come back and see what sermon I can find the next time? We're preparing. Part of our assignment is preparing. Getting people ready for what's coming. God wants some skilled people to work with Him. Amen. Well, the Lord once said to me, He said, I fulfill my plan in the earth through faith. Consecrated, obedient, and believing people. Amen. So we need to focus in on a consecrated life, obedience to the Spirit of God. Go to Romans chapter number 16. I want you to see a verse that the Lord showed me the other day. I had seen it a while back, a number of years ago, but the Lord reminded me of it again. That here, this verse, it's one of the last verses here in Romans. I think it'd be good for you to mark it. Romans chapter number 16. And look at verse 26. But now is made manifest, talking about the mystery of the gospel, is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Say that term, obedience of faith. Say it again, obedience of faith.
Obedience of faith.
Hallelujah. Say it one more time.
Obedience of faith.
Obedience of faith. In other words, faith obeys.
Yes.
It takes faith to obey.
Amen.
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 And obedience is done in faith. In other words, you don't always want to. Your flesh doesn't always want to. But you do it in faith. Knowing this is God's plan, and He's working something glorious and grand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So He'll run practice sessions on you in the area of obedience. He won't just, speak to you about what to do to get in the fullness of His plan. He'll run little practice sessions on you. And He'll say, do this. Go over there and see that single mom over there. Go give her $100 for groceries this week. Practice session. See if you'll be obedient in faith. You know what I'm talking about? And when we obey, He goes, there's somebody I can use here. Let me run another one. Do this. And they obey. I can take them on. All right, let's run another one. Do this. And He gets them out of not just acts of obedience, but a lifestyle. He keeps doing that till He gets them into a lifestyle of obedience.
Amen.
He says something, they go, okay.
Yep.
Says something, okay.
Right.
Says something else, okay.
Yep.
Something else, okay.
Yes, sir. That's right.
And He's got you on a roll of obedience. Then He goes, okay, now they're ready for what I really have for them.
Amen.
They'll obey me. So they can take greater responsibility in the kingdom of God. They can take greater assignments. And I can use them. And these are people that are not, their lives are not their own anymore. Ooh, Jesus. They just live for Him. They just do what He wants. And their life is about Him. Let me say something about money. If you always bring up the cost to do the will of God, you don't know what money is. And you don't know what it's for. Well, so praise the Lord. What is money for? Let me tell you what money is for. Money, get this straight in your thinking. Here's what money is for. It's for the plan. That's what money is for. Well, but I need to pass some on to my family. Right. For the plan. For the plan for the family.
Yeah.
It's not just about giving them a bunch of money. It's for the plan.
Yes.
In fact, if you're a good parent, you might say, now, if you're going to follow God, you'll get your inheritance. Oh, that's manipulation. Sure is. Hallelujah. You got every right. It's yours. Amen. Amen. You get that one simple principle about finances, you'll be light years ahead most Christians. Most Christians think, and when it comes to their finances, they think in terms of ownership rather than stewardship. And I'm not going to split theological hairs about it because it really is yours to do whatever you want with. But Jesus is Lord. Come on. And he owns me. And all that I have is his. And when requested, sure, it's yours. I'm not the owner. I'm the manager. I'm the steward. Amen. Owners do what they want. Stewards do what is in the interest of the one they are stewarding for. Amen. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 2:4 says, they that, a good soldier doesn't entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him that's chosen him to be a soldier. When you read the word soldier in the Bible, it's actually a reference. We're all soldiers in the sense of we're all, in the army of God. And we should think that way. But more specifically, a lot of times he's using it in the context of talking to a minister. And so he's saying, if you're going to be a good soldier, you're not going to be entangled with the affairs of this life. One translation says you won't be entangled in civilian affairs. Now, in the context is finances there again. So what he's saying is, your assignment in the military is not to go raise funds for your gun. You never see a army guy out here on the street saying, money for my tank, money for my tank. Give to the U.S. Army money for my tank. Listen, if that's where it is, we're going under. The next war, we're in trouble. Need new tracks on the tank. Need new tracks on the tank. Need more bullets. Need more bullets. Soldiers don't get involved in all of that, raising money and doing what they need. They're not trying to raise money. They're trying to get the job done. It's headquarters' job to make sure the money's there for the job assignment. And that's the mindset. God will work on that in you to prepare you to do whatever he's called you to do. Where you're not waiting for the money, you obey the assignment and call the money. Call it. Would come. Amen. And it comes on you and overtakes you. You're not facing it, chasing it. You're doing the plan and it comes on you and overtakes you. That's the blessing. You can see now why some people just see that some people just seem to, keep being put on the spiritual shelf, so to speak. It's like they never progress, they never move forward. Here's why. They're waiting for the money. They're waiting for God to do something. When he's waiting them to get some of these mindsets and prepare themselves to be a soldier. To think differently. I don't know what you expected tonight. Amen. Everybody still happy? Glad you came? That's one of the mentalities. Because if we're going to be ready when he comes, if we're going to be ready, when he returns, we're going to be about the Father's business. Remember, we said that we looked there in Matthew 24 this morning where it went through there, be ready, be always watchful, so forth and so on. And then he said, blessed is the man that whenever he gives him an assignment to feed his people, meat in due season, when the Lord comes, he finds him doing that. That's part of being ready, is being on assignment. We're on it. What he's told us to do, we're on it. Well, what if he comes before I get it all done? You were on it. You were doing it.
That's right. Amen.
I imagine we're going to all be in the midst of whatever we were doing when he comes. You know what I'm talking about? So don't worry about, what if I don't ever finish it? You were on your way. You were on schedule. You were doing your part right at the time.
Amen.
You knew there was more.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So what do we see then? There's certain mindsets. If there's certain things whenever he comes, we have to be, if he's coming and he's going to expect us to be ready, what kind of characteristics or mindsets do we have to have? Well, can we look at a couple of those before we wrap this up? So one of the conditions of heart that God is looking for whenever he returns is people of faith. We said that this morning. Yeah. Remember that whenever we were talking about whenever Matthew 18 verse 8, I believe it is, whenever the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Yeah. So he's looking for people of faith. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
And so we looked at that. And Romans 16 talks about the obedience of faith. And so that's why God shows us his plan, for us to use our faith to fulfill it.
Amen.
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 There is a mindset that I find myself having to guard against. I'm just so excited I know the plan. Well, that's not good enough. Do something to fulfill it.
Yeah.
Start taking steps toward it. Maybe it's impossible for me to bring it to pass. But I do what he tells me to do to fulfill it. And he's got to do the doing. Hallelujah. Maybe it's impossible financially. Maybe it's impossible with, whatever, for different reasons. I'm talking about in the human side. It's impossible. Well, listen, then I got to tap into his power. And it's faith that does that. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Now, in the last days, the reason faith is so important is for two things. Number one, we were talking about this morning. Number one is to be victorious in the middle of all these things he says coming in the last days. To walk in victory over the pestilences. I mean, the Christians ought to be getting manna out of the sky. If it comes to that. But they're not lacking in anything. They stay on pace. Don't slow down for recessions, depressions, or any kind of essions. Amen. And just keep right on going. In the middle of pandemics, use their faith to stay healed and lay hands on the sick and get them healed. Let's just live in victory. Live in victory over offenses, getting tripped up, knocked out of church because we got offended. Oh, God's knocking some touchiness out of some of us. Hallelujah. He has to get some of the prima donna out of some of us. He has to get some of the it's not all about me out of us. Or get the all, it's all about me out of us. You know what I'm talking about? We got to get the superstar out of our... Pastor Debbie used to do that one. We first met. We were dating. She would come in. I don't know where she got this. On a movie or something. She would come into the room and be like, superstar. It's good I knew her heart because. Amen. But see, some of that's got to be knocked out of some people. How many of you know ministry is not about being seen or popular? Listen, if you lust for the pulpit, you're not ready for the pulpit. It's the most of the preachers I know. I'm thinking of, a friend of ours was talking on a YouTube video the other day, and I was watching a minister friend, and I was watching him, and they said, Brother Hagin, they said, because they ministered in healing school like we did. I mean, after we left. They said, Brother Hagin, they were talking to Brother Hagin one day, and they said, Brother Hagin, they said, I sure appreciate the opportunity to be here in healing school, and actually prayer school a lot, and preach, but they said, I never really wanted to be behind the pulpit. He goes, me neither. he said, I'd be fine just behind the scenes praying. I thought, that's the way a lot of these people are that God has used. They don't lust for it. To them, it's not about their big name or whatever, being known all over the world or so. To them, it's just, God spoke to me. I got an assignment here. I got to obey him. Amen. Well, that's all part of preparation. God gets that knocked out of some of us. Anyhow, everybody still glad you came? When it comes to faith, but it's not just enough to live in victory in our own lives. Faith is for getting the job done. Faith is for getting the assignment done. God shows us his plan for the obedience of faith. And the kind of faith that obeys him, in other words. Doesn't just give lip service to God. But obedience, is one thing that's included in obedience is preparation. When God's dealing with you to cut something of the flesh off and give some more time to prayer or give some more time to reading good word books. Like I love what Brother Carlos was saying this morning. Just reading, just feeding his spirit all the time. When he's dealing with you about those things, that's preparation.
Amen. That's good.
And flunking those tests, it's like, okay, let's go around this mountain again. You know, remember that old test? It's the story about how long are you going to compass this mountain? The Israelites just kept going in circles in the wilderness. Everybody still happy?
Yes.
So he says things for the obedience of faith. And, you know, he's looking for laborers. And that's us.
Yes.
Amen? And so we're supposed to take what the Spirit of God tells us and consecrate ourselves to it, obey it, believe that it was him that spoke it to us, and start preparing for that and acting like that's getting ready to come to pass. Hebrews 11:7 says that's what faith does. Noah got ready for the flood of what was coming. Are you ready? Are you preparing? If God said, all right, now's the time, take the step and do this, would you be ready to do it? Something you've carried in your heart for a long time. Amen. How many of you know Philippians 3:12? Paul said, I press and reach and so forth that I might apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. In other words, Paul's saying, God got a hold of me for a reason. God got a hold of me for an assignment. Aren't you glad he got a hold of you and washed you and cleaned you and cleaned you up and changed your squirrely thinking and so forth and so on? How many of you know him getting a hold of you blessed you? But ultimately, he has something for you and I to do.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Paul said, God apprehended me for an assignment, and I am apprehending that for which I am apprehended for. Apprehended is kind of like an arrest word. And I think you could call what happened on the road to Damascus a divine arrest.
Yeah, amen. Amen. That's right.
Stop right here, Paul. You know, I got something for you to do. This is a stick up. Yes, whatever you want, whatever you want. Hallelujah. Amen. What did God bring you into the kingdom for? Remember the Bible said about Esther's uncle, whenever she was in the palace, remember when that great epidemic came where they were going to kill all the Jews and so forth. And Haman said to her, God has brought you into the kingdom, talking about in the palace there in the kingdom, in the natural kingdom, for such a time as this. In other words, you better fulfill your assignment. Save all these lives. You know, well, what's our assignment? We've been brought into the kingdom, not just for blessings. Thank God for the blessings. But there's an assignment on our lives.
Yes.
I'm so glad Brother Hagin didn't find out about healing and keep it all to himself.
Praise
didn't
God.
Find out about Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Keep it all for himself. I remember distinctly remember sitting in Rhema. I think this was second year. And Brother Hagin's up there teaching. He had been teaching one hour for every day or however that worked. Well, our class was every other day, I think. 1 hour, and then the next quarter, another hour every other day. And that went on for the whole first year. And then the second year, I'm in there in the second year, and I'm just enjoying this things that I'm learning and so forth. And I distinctly remember sitting there in SDC2, was it? It was the Rooker Memorial Center back then. I'm sitting there, and the vast number of chairs and people sitting there, and they're all sitting in Brother Hagin's teaching. And I distinctly remember him telling the stories and how he, you know, was put in one time had to sleep in a chicken coop. And another time was fed one hot dog for a whole week or something like that. He and his wife had to split it. Remember that? And some of the hardships he went through.
Yes, sir.
And I thought, And I'm sitting there, and I'm hearing him teaching. And I'm sitting there, and I sort of zoned out. I don't mean I wasn't listening, but I mean I just, the nostalgia of the moment just started flooding in on me. And I started looking around, and I said, Mennonite boy from Pennsylvania. God brought me here. Whoa. The leading prophet of the land. I'm sitting here, getting to sit under his ministry. Tears started streaming down my eyes. I said, I'm so glad he didn't quit. So glad he stuck with it until that message got to me. Hallelujah. And I couldn't get up and interrupt the service, but I wanted to get up and dance and shout and praise God. Hallelujah. Squirrely thinking Mennonite boy goes to Bible school and gets cleaned up. God makes something out of him.
Come on.
Woo, newsflash. Anybody else got any newsflashes?
Come on.
I said, how did I get here? I just followed my heart, followed the Lord.
Yeah. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
But nobody in my family supported me.
Yeah.
Praise God. And I'm not going to quit because there's some people's lives dependent on us. Being obedient, being faithful. We might not all see it. We see it all right now, but when we get to heaven and there's a greeting line at the pearly gate, at the gates when we go in, and people say, I'm here because you obeyed. I was healed because you obeyed, and I could finish my course because I was healed. So forth and so on. That's worth everything. That's worth every mean person. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Ugly neighbor. All right, our neighbors now are pretty good, you know, but we've had some doozies over the years. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Worth it all. Hallelujah. So what has God brought you into the kingdom for such a time as this to do? Is it just to enjoy the blessings, or is there an assignment on your life? The answer is there's something for all of us to do in this end time harvest. Isn't that right? And so James prophesied that it's going to be reaped and then he's going to come back. Some of us are funders. Some of us are, all of us really can fund. All of us can, you know, pray, serve in the ministry of helps, lead people to the Lord, witness to people, invite them to church, do our part, lay hands on the sick out there. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So those are all things we obey God in faith to do. Now here's something else. This is another thing the Lord dealt with me to tell you that prepares you to meet the Lord. Go to Numbers chapter number 9. And we'll wrap this up. It says in verse number 17, starting in verse number 17. Numbers 9, verse 17. This is Israel in the Old Testament after they came out of Egypt. It says, in verse number 17, when the cloud, remember that cloud, because they were getting ready to be annihilated up against the Red Sea because Pharaoh changed his mind, came out and said, no, I'm not letting you go. And they're pinned up against the Red Sea. They got mountains on both sides. Pharaoh comes in, traps them. He said, I got you. I'm taking you back to Egypt. And remember that cloud came and stood all night between Israel and the Egyptians. Man, wouldn't that be something seeing that show up? You'd be like, uh-oh, we're slaves again. And you see that cloud and you go, God's fighting for me, buddy. You better not touch us. So that cloud, but that cloud didn't just separate them all night. It then went in front of them and led them. And we read about it. It said in verse 17, when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed, and in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord, they pitched their tents. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents. And according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was, when the cloud was abode from even until morning, that the cloud was taken up in the morning, that they journeyed, whether it was by day or by night. Whew, that cloud might start moving in the middle of the night. That the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Verse 22. Or whether it were 2 days, or a month, or a year, that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents, and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, they rested in the tents, and the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. That's just a whole lot of saying the same thing over and over again. When it moved, they moved with it. Whenever it stayed, they stayed with it. And the cloud moving was their command. You see that? This is a type. They didn't have God living on the inside of them last night in the Old Testament, where that came from. But they had the cloud out here leading them. They were led. That's a type of being led of the Spirit. Can you see that? And to them, it was a command. When this cloud moves, I don't know where. Maybe it's somewhere in the scriptures. Somewhere I heard that they had somebody watching it all the time. Well, of course you would. I mean, if it's going to move in the middle of the night and nobody's watching it, you get up in the morning. Where'd God go? I mean, you gotta stay watch. Somebody's gotta watch that, and then it starts moving. You know, I mean, that's a trumpet blowing. Everybody pick up there. Pull up the stakes, man. Get the grandkids. Grab the kitchen utensils. We're out of here. This isn't a good time. That doesn't have anything to do with it. I'm sure there was a lot of people in a lot of situations where the clouds started moving and it just wasn't a good time. So this is one of the conditions of heart that keeps us ready for the Lord to return, and ready to do all He's called us to do. And that is just be prepared to flow with whatever direction comes.
Amen.
Stay out of our heads is what we're mainly talking about. Stay ready to completely throw out your plans and move with the direction when it comes. Well, I didn't have that planned. Well, now your plans just changed. I've had many of my plans change. First, I was planning on being a landscaper. Then I was planning on being a computer programmer. And that all changed. Then I wasn't planning on being a pastor, and that changed. I wasn't planning on getting married, and that changed. If you get to do everything you ever planned and wanted to do, you're not following the Holy Ghost. Well, praise the Lord. This is a type of being led by the Spirit. And this is what it takes to be ready for the Lord. I said, this is what it takes to be ready for the Lord. Do you realize when that cloud was going to move was never predictable? You couldn't schedule it. You couldn't announce it in advance. Say, put out an email, all Israel, hearken ye, tomorrow, 7:30 in the afternoon, or 7:30 in the morning, cloud will move. Be ready. Nobody could predict it.
No, sir.
God didn't see fit to tell everybody ahead of time.
Amen.
He's not answering to man.
Right.
Man's answering to Him.
Yeah.
So whenever He decided it's time to move, He just started moving.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to go fishing today. Well, you ain't going fishing now. That's what it takes. Whenever you have plans and God says, I want you to do this, that's what it takes to be ready when the Lord comes. I said, that's what it takes to be ready when the Lord comes. Amen. So it wasn't predictable. It was always random. Did you notice? It wasn't on the first of every month. He said, "This." We read it. He said, it could have stayed there a day. It could have stayed there just a few days. It could have stayed there a whole year and not moved from the place that it settled. They never could predict it. It was always random. Even in the middle of the night. Well, God, let everybody get some rest. No, he's on His schedule. This is one of the greatest elements of honor that there is. Honor for God. and that is you're flexible. Honor for what God is saying and what God is doing means we just stay flexible. Remember the widow woman? She built an addition to the on the house for the man of God. And it said that whenever he came by, she was always ready for him. But see, back then they didn't have email. They couldn't. He couldn't say ahead for. He couldn't, you know, email ahead and say, "Hey, is that open on July 31st? Can I come by July?" No, he just show up. You know what happened whenever he showed up? Her plans changed. She had to be flexible. That's honor. Remember that story. Hallelujah. Well, that's the way we honor God, is our plans are flexible. His plans are first. Well, I remember Jesus gave a parable, and he talked about inviting. I'm almost done. I know you're thinking. But he said, you know, the marriage supper of the Lamb is like, you know, a king making a great feast and going out and inviting people. And they say, well, I just bought a field and I need to go inspect it. Remember that story? Or I just bought some oxen and I need to go prove them. And he gave that story about people making different excuses why they couldn't come. And so that's all because they had plans. Did you get that?
Yeah.
I have plans. You know, Pastor Nancy is different than Dr. Dufresne. She just likes to do things last minute. Great. Our plans just changed. Okay, we were going to have the new members class. that changed. But see, that's honor. And that's the way we've got to roll. To stay with what God said, connect. God said, that's your pastor. Hallelujah. That's what it takes to be where we're supposed to be when Jesus comes back.
Amen.
Doing what we're supposed to. Have to be led by the Spirit. Have to follow the Holy Ghost. I remember I was talking about that, you know, that parable Jesus gave about people making excuses why they can't come. I've got to go prove the oxen and so forth. I grew up in Mennonite Sunday school. And listen, if you haven't grown up in Mennonite Sunday school, you missed half your life. We had a song we sang. I cannot come. And I cannot come to the banquet. Don't trouble me now. I have married a wife. I have bought me a cow. I have fields and commitments. That cost a pretty sum. Great holy excuse. I cannot come. I mean, we sang that just because it was funny. I have married a wife. I have bought me a cow. Holy excuse. I cannot come. What excuse are you making for not doing what God said? Well, that's what we're here for, to help get people ready. Say ready. How many of you know that means we got to be flexible? Amen. And listen, we got to develop in this skill. Some of us, now organization is good, but if you're so organized that when the Holy Ghost changes your plans, you can't be flexible, you're too organized. You're too much in your head. Don't live that way. Plan, endeavor to be led as much as you can, but if the Lord changes your plan, well then, Lord, we didn't want to do that anyway, really. I mean, 3 minutes ago we did, but now we don't want to do that. Yeah. Yeah. Pastor Nancy just set up camp meeting right over some good hunting season time. You know what I'm talking about? I didn't really want to do that anyway. I want to be with the people of God. I want to be with my family. I want to be in the Holy... It takes that kind of first things first. I don't know what it is for you. I just use illustrations that I can understand. Maybe for you it's the crocheting club or something like that. I don't know. Is that you, Adam? Was that you? Oh, okay. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, I'm going with the Spirit. Part of what it takes to do that is staying full of the Holy Ghost. Luke 4:1, don't ever forget it. Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, was led. You got to stay so full that you just don't care about anything else than what you're being led to do. Now listen, Jesus told Brother Hagin, I'm wrapping up, told Brother Hagin in a vision in 1950, he's talking to him about the end time revival, and he said at the end of the age there would be miracles, healings that would surpass those recorded in the book of Acts. But then Jesus spoke these words. These are startling words that Jesus spoke to him. He said, many of my own people will not accept the moving of my spirit and will turn back and will not be ready to meet me at my coming. Did you hear that? Notice, according to Jesus, turning away from the move of the Spirit will make us not ready to meet him at his coming. Yay, yay, yay. I know some folk ain't going to be ready. Because they're not following the Spirit. They're not moving with the Spirit. And we just need to maybe not pay attention to them as much as ourselves. Make sure we're moving with the Spirit. Anybody still here? You glad you came?
Yes.
He's talking about turning away from the move of the Word and the Spirit. And we're experiencing that. We're seeing that in the body of Christ at a larger scale. Amen. You don't want to stand before the Lord with a lot of unfinished business and a lot of things. Well, you know, I know you dealt with me about that, but, you know, I had my plans and we had to do this and we had to do that. Well, praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor we're going to just go ahead and do it. Get it done. How many of you know his plan's progressing in the earth? It's progressing, and it progresses through obedient, faithful, believing, consecrated people. And so he's looking for people. He's looking for laborers. His eyes run to and fro. He's looking for people that are sold out. The NIV says, fully consecrated. That's what he's looking for. His eyes are landing on consecrated people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Consecrated people say, Lord, my plan is to do your plan. That's my plan. That's my plan. I don't have any agenda of my own. I don't have any plans of my own. Amen. I've just got plans to do what his plan is. Praise God. So can you see we've got to get beyond just living, using our faith to be victorious for ourselves, but we've got to use our faith to do his plan. And these are the kinds of things it takes to do his plan. Amen. Well, we could get into a lot of other things, but I think that's good for tonight. Everybody glad you came tonight? Praise God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. That's what the Lord put in my heart. That's one of the assignments on this ministry is to prepare people.
Yeah.
Prepare people. Get people ready. And so tonight you heard some things. If you have to adjust some things, let's get it adjusted. Let's get it right. I don't know what it is for you. If Adam, you need to stop spending so much time on the knitting club websites. Hey. Hallelujah. It's fair to pick on a burly guy with a beard. You know what I'm talking about. It's fair. Glory. Do you love his plan?
Yes, sir.
Aren't you glad that you get to be a part of the greatest move of the Spirit? Greater than Peter, Paul, James, and John. That's what, according to the scriptures. I believe that's what we're in, the beginnings of. And we're carrying this out to the end. Hallelujah. We might be raising up the next Catherine Kuhlman here. We might be raising up the next Oral Roberts here. Glory. Hallelujah. You daycare workers, you might think, well, man, this little rascal that I keep having to put in the corner over there. Can you see 20 years from now, if we're still here, can you see him coming looking you up and saying, I just want you to know that I just finished Bible school and I'm going into the ministry and you're the one that sowed the seed. Ooh, whoa!